something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best bits of the week with Morgan.
Part one.
Behind the scenes with a member of the show.
Welcome, come one, come all. Scuba Steve is joining me this weekend. How are you, Scuba?
Come on, step right up. Extra, extra, read all about
it. I know,
it.
I felt really appropriate
come
for
on,
you.
Come on, come on. Sabrina, winning brother, Barnum & Bailey Circus. Over here we have the gazelle and the zebra and
yeah,
Scuba Steve.
It felt very appropriate with you being on this weekend. I don't know why, but it did.
I felt it, so let's roll with it.
All right. Well, welcome to part one, everybody. Just to break down the bits you're going to catch on part two. If you go catch up on the show this week, we have an honorable mention. We had a lot of guests in studio this week. For King and Country was on. If you want to watch their interview, you can go to our YouTube page at Bobby Bone Show. But the bits you'll actually hear on part two, we've got rejected segments. Listener Kurt has an autograph cut that he wants to give Bobby, but Bobby has to play a game to get it, which was fun because Bobby doesn't get to play games a lot. Cole Swindell came in studio. Was that a comment over there, Scuba?
Oh, it was fun.
From
but
the
was
Peanut Gallery.
Long. Like, it was like, dude, end the freaking game. Like, it just kept going and
he
going.
He really wanted to play, you know?
I get it, but
he
like,
he wanted to host his own game show.
I know, but like, it was way too long. That's just me being my honest opinion on it.
All right, thank you.
It was fine.
Appreciate the Peanut Gallery.
Post show only.
Cole's
podcast only, not on air, but it went on air.
Behind the scenes, you're welcome.
Yeah,
this is very early
opinion,
on.
It was too goddamn long.
I will need your honest opinion in a second.
All right, cool,
not
cool.
quite yet.
All right.
Just because Cole got interrupted. Cole Swindell was in our studio this week talking about his proposal. We had everybody shared the last time they were starstruck. Chase Matthews stopped in for the very first time, and he's going to fix somebody on the show's car, which will be super interesting. Lunchbox really wants the show to do staggered bathroom breaks from now on, which you're going to have a hot opinion on because I know Amy and I did.
Yeah, he's
and
like a 12-year-old. You're like, really,
he's
dude?
Literally a toddler.
Oh, my God.
And then so Eddie mature. Received $1 million secret.
Yep.
So crazy stuff happened on the show this week if you want to catch up. But speaking of your opinion, Scuba Steve, this is like the one thing. And then I have just a bunch of random stuff.
Okay.
But Zach from Canada, this didn't make our listener Q&A because we had lots to talk about over there. But he wants to hear your thoughts on the palette fiasco and all of that. For what you can share, what you feel like sharing, or maybe you want to plead the fifth.
My thoughts on it in general or where it's at now or where it's going to go?
I think all of it, you know?
Well, I think you saw or heard kind of like what our struggles may be with Lunchbox when it comes to doing something. Because he'll come up with an idea or we'll come up with an idea or however it comes into its inception. And then he's like, all right, well, did my part. Now everyone else has got to do the whole rest of it. And I'll just walk away. And then when nothing happens, I'll go, what? I didn't know. So that's my whole theory on a lot of that. It's just kind of like he'll like drop the bomb and be like, that's a big bomb. That's pretty fun to play with. And then he just removes himself. And then when nothing happens, he's like, why isn't anyone doing anything? And so you're just kind of like, oh, like even when it came to even get the palette in the first place, it was like a 2-week fiasco of even just getting him to come and get the pallet, which then we had to use my truck to go get it. And I had to go out there and drive it. And then my truck got damaged in the process of going to go pick it up. So it's like,
did you ever get that fixed, by the way?
No.
Okay. It's just chilling.
I end up having it fixed
forever memory.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's definitely a Mater mark in the front of my truck. That one I can't get off. It's like, it's just, it's scraped there. But the back thing I did fix myself, we had broken, I'll say we, because I was also involved. I'll put the blame on me as an adult. I was, by letting him even do it in the first place. But he broke like one of the back hatches of my truck that covers the bed of a truck. And I had to go through there with a wrench and kind of tighten it back up and fix it. Easy fix, but still, it was broken on the account of him.
So we've got more than just business frustrations. We also have some personal frustrations.
And then it took over space at work, because then Bobby wanted me to clear out this one office we have over here, which was kind of like a storage closet, and he wanted to use it to record some stuff out of it. And I was like, hey man, of course. Totally makes sense. It's an open office. What I can do actually is slide all that over into another office, because we have a lot of open space here. And the one spot that I could put it in that was available, he then put all the pallet stuff in it. And I was like, oh, so now I can't. And then Bobby's like, hey, is that room cleaned up yet? I want to start looking at building something there. I was like, it ain't going to happen anytime soon until he gets the pallet stuff out of that one office. So then it became this whole 6 month thing of how are we going to get rid of the pallet stuff? And he wanted to do things that were a little slimy. And so I'm like, I don't really want to put the listeners through that. I think it's kind of a bad look on the show. And he had no charity angle. So I don't mind selling things to listeners if there's like a good reason for it. Like, hey, the money you sell is going to go towards our St. Jude total at the end of the year or something. I don't know if there's some sort of positive spin to it. But he's like, I just want to sell it and then we get all the money back. It's like, no. And then we reached a point where it's like the money we put into the pallet basically paid for this long standing bit. And so then I was at the point of acceptance of like, let's just throw all this away, because it is just crap.
Yeah.
It's all crap.
That room reminds me of like what my Amazon packages would look like if I didn't return things.
Yes. Or like a hoarder's house.
Impulse buys.
Impulse buy hoarder who bought crap and can't remember what they bought because they have bought so much crap. And now their house is full of crap. And now it's full of cat crap because they got cats walking over the place and rat poop. Like, that's what
Why'd
our room looks like.
Why do you have to bring cats and rats into this?
Because usually when you go to those hoarders, you watch those hoarder shows, there's always a woman who's got 75 cats and they crap all over the place and they've got rats all over the place and they've crapped everywhere.
Well, you know, I like to think if they have animals, their heart was in the right place at one point.
At one point.
It until just got a little overwhelming.
Well, then it becomes dangerous for the animals. Now you're at a point
Very
where
much
like
so.
It's dangerous for everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
Poor cats and the rats contracted to that
one. I know. Well, it's not their fault. It's their owner's fault. But yes.
So is the stuff still in the room?
When I walked, well, I haven't seen it. I haven't gone in that direction in a week on purpose.
Got it.
But the last time I was over there, it was all still in that room.
Okay. So when is the moment? Because I think we've passed our deadline that everything's just going to get thrown away.
Deadline was the 22nd.
Are we ignoring it at this point?
Well, I don't think anyone wants to talk about it anymore because it got so awkward.
Yeah.
Because I even asked Bobby, I was like, hey, do you want to, like, he's like, nah, we're all done with this. And I kind of agree with him. Like, no one wants to hear about this anymore. I think even the listeners are absolutely over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I was asking, like, now what's going to happen? Because you need the room.
Yeah. Are you over it? Like, how do you feel about the pallet?
Oh, I've been over it since he started to try and ask me to be involved. And I was like, I didn't even buy into this business proposal. Like, I'm willing to help you because I have to, because you're not going to have access to our social media pages.
No
way. That would be a mess.
No.
I'm willing to help you there. But then it kept going further and further. And I was like, I don't even have an investment in this. This isn't worth my time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have an investment. And I'm just ready to throw it away.
Yeah.
I got my $80 worth from ShowBits, and I think we're good to go. We call it a day, we move on. And if someone wants to go to our back alley, we throw it out back there and grab stuff, have at it.
I like it. Well, so that's your guys' update for now. It's still currently sitting in the room.
Yes, yeah.
And maybe one day it just disappears.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. All right, well, what's something? We're changing gears here. I wanted to respect Zach's question.
Yeah,
he
of course,
really
Zach,
wanted your opinion.
From Canada, what up?
From Canada. What is something you would like a lifetime supply of? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm like, I'm a creature of habit. Once I start to love something, and I know this comes from my mother, she does this often. Like when she falls in love with something, she gets it in like multiple colors, or if she likes a version, it's multiple flavors. Like she gets onto something and then she's obsessed with it for a while.
Okay. Like what's one thing that your mom, either as a kid or now, that you're like she has a lot of it?
Well, this is a funny one. She really fell in love with Crumbles sugar cookie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she would buy like a dozen, but she'd freeze them. So she'd always have them. And I'm like, for real? And it would be this constant thing. And that was what she would always eat.
But it's her happiness and her probably her and one moment of joy in the day. She's like, oh, my crumble cookie.
Yes, but it was the specific one. Okay. You know, it wasn't like, okay, I'll just get crumble once. It was the specific cookie. And she'd get a dozen of them and they'd always be there. There'd always be some in the fridge. Uh-huh. And that was her thing for a while.
Did they not have crumble where she's at?
No, they do.
Oh, so she just... Oh.
It was just on the other side of town because we lived on west, and for a long time there wasn't an east. There wasn't one on the west. It was just the east side.
Oh my god!
So she would have to go like 25, 30 minutes to go get it.
Okay, it's not very far though. I'm thinking she had to go to Nashville to get it or something.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was just her thing. So like this is where this was born out of, and because of her, I have this kind of similar habit, not quite to that extent.
Yeah.
But like I found these like gluten free sea salt crackers from a brand named Milton's that I love. Like
gluten free sea salt crackers. Okay.
And they're so good because finding a gluten free, like good cracker is hard.
Yeah.
And so when I find them, like you should see me at the store getting them. I'm buying like 10 bags.
Milton is the brand? Like Milton Hershey?
No, like Milton's. It's like a cracker company, maybe.
Trying to see if I recognize it. Oh, I recognize this packaging. I don't think I've ever had it, but I definitely recognize seeing this in the store.
Well, really good gluten-free crackers.
Oh, no, wait. I have had this because I, believe it or not, I love the crispy sea salt ones. These ones right here?
Yeah, those are them. Yeah. They have teal and white packaging.
I'm a weirdo. I love crackers. Like, as a kid, I used to love going to a restaurant because a lot of times they would have crackers in, like, a thing. Like, I think before they would even give out bread. Maybe bread was more of, like, the fancier restaurants.
Oh.
You get bread in a basket. And the cheaper, crappy ones that we went to as a kid would always have crackers there. But it was mostly meant for, like, if you got a salad or a soup or whatever. But they were there. And I would eat the crackers as my appetizer as a kid. And I used to love the ones that were, like, rectangle-shaped.
Club crackers.
Club crackers,
oh,
yeah.
So good. And those are good with a salad.
Dude, those are just good by themselves.
That's true.
And I loved it because whenever you would get it, it'd be in a package. And there'd be, like, two or three of them in there. And the one in the middle, one of them would have, like, a brown edge on it. And that was always the best cracker.
Mm.
So I love me some just plain, or even Cars crackers.
We've had a similar experience because I'm feeling you right now. Like, yeah. I had the same experience with crackers.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
It.
That was our bread at the table was crackers. So yeah.
So you like them. I'm a big like cheese and crackers. Like I always ate shredded cheese out of the bag. That was like my thing.
Ain't nothing wrong
and
with
then
that.
As I started to get older, I added crackers to that.
Okay.
And now I eat like straight up. Now it's gotten bougier as I've gotten older.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You can started afford more
with like
too.
Well, like it started with me just eating Kraft shredded cheese out of the bag on the couch. And now it's morphed into really good crackers and like fancy cheese from Trader Joe's.
Heck yeah. We do that on the weekend whenever my wife's like, let's just get a snack plate going. And she'll pull out this like huge wooden board and we'll have like the Cars crackers.
So good.
Like other crackers. We'll cut up some cheese like Parmesan or whatever cheese we got. Grapes, strawberries, bananas, apple slices.
See, like snack boards are like the ultimate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people always look past them because it can be an appetizer, but like they can be a whole meal to me. I could just sit there all night.
Sometimes.
See?
It would just sit there, all five of us, and just chowing down. It's awesome.
Yes. Okay, so what's your lifetime supply? Because that's mine, is these like sea salt milk crackers.
I guess I got a couple. I like a lifetime supply of shoes, like Nike, Reebok, like basketball type shoes. Like shoes
okay, if you could only choose one brand though.
One brand, then I would have to go with Nike because it would also encompass Jordan.
So I'll
do Nike because then I can do like Penny, I can do Jordan, which are the only two I really like in Nike. And then I'll like some special ones that will come out every once in a while, like some Air Maxes or whatever. So I'll do Nike and I'll do weed. Sativa strain only, please.
Got it. Okay. I was going to say, you might get a little bit more specific than that, but okay.
Yeah. Got if I had to pick a particular strain, there's this one called Juicy Fruit that I haven't seen in a long time. They used to sell in San Francisco circa 2010.
Did it taste like the bubble gum?
Dude, it was unbelievable. I've only seen it at this place called the Green Door that got shut down because it was near a park within like a mile of a park, but it was a drug park. But it was a loophole for the government to shut down these. So back in 2010, it was only medical in San Francisco and California. It wasn't recreational yet anywhere. And so they still had these. They were still giving the business a really hard time. They would have these rules like if it was in a certain amount of places of a school, none of them were. You couldn't build it there. But then they made some laws while buildings were already or businesses were already in place. One of them was if it was near a park. And this one spot that I went to, Green Door, was near a park, but it was a park in the Tenderloin, which is like a super seedy area. And it was a park that no child has been to since probably 1984.
What's seedy mean?
Seedy like sketch.
How do you spell that?
CD, I think maybe SEDY. I don't know. I've never spelt it.
I've never heard anybody say that. That's why I'm so
really?
Curious. Yeah.
I've heard it like a
I've heard people
part.
Say like sketch, but I haven't heard somebody say seedy.
A seedy part of town, like a really like sketch area of town, like seedy. Like, oh, that's a CD
spot. What does it stand for?
It's like a sketch, weird, unsafe place.
But it's CD?
Not like compact disc, but like a seed, like CD. I don't know what the origin is.
No, it's okay. You don't have to look. I was just curious.
It was just something I picked up living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But that's a CD part of town.
And
I picked up through context clues. I was like, oh yeah, this is a CD part of town.
Got it. Okay. I was curious because I was like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And so it was a park that mostly people were passed out on drugs and shooting up on heroin. But it was a park, technically. Okay. So the store would have to close down. And I remember being like, oh my God, they're closing down. And they never reopened because they lost a bunch of money on a raid. It was awful what they did to them. But then like 2 years later, everything became legal, so it was such a bunch of
crap. Did they ever reopen back up?
I never found their location because there's another spot that I used to go to in the Haight-Ashbury district called Vapor Room, and they got closed down too, and they just went away for a couple years, and then they came back and they resurfaced in a different location somewhere else in San Francisco. But the Green Door was the only spot that had this juicy fruit strain, and I would go there every Friday to pick up some after work, get ready for the weekend, just treat myself. And
it was juicy fruit.
I had a medical card. I was following the rules. I lived in California, lived in San Francisco. I was in Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole. I'm going to have some fun. So judge me all you want. I enjoyed life.
You were just having juicy fruit, by the way, how were the space gummies I gave you for Christmas, Christmas gift exchange?
Oh, they're gone. So they were fun.
Yay. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Scuba went to space.
Yes. But if anyone out there knows where juicy fruit is, it's a sativa strain. It has a really nice fruit smell and flavor, and it's just pungent with the right smells, and it is delicious.
And for all the kids out there, he's talking about juicy fruit gum, which is also hard to find. So let us know if you know where that is.
Yeah. I haven't seen it at a gas station in a while.
I know. So moving forward from that,
it's okay to educate your kids a little bit. I feel like we live in a time where.
Yeah. No, but I don't know. I don't know if they're super young.
It's true. Well, they should probably.
Four years old. I don't know if we're there yet.
It's a little young to be listening to the show at 4 years old. But yeah.
You know, sometimes they just like a little.
The podcast version is a little bit different from the on-air version.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes.
Yeah.
But again, going to the question and answer one, we either get to or we get to, never judge a parent on what they do.
This is true. That happened. Wait.
That was in the Q&A.
Yeah. You're hurting my brain because we went backwards this week. We did it backwards instead of like in the order.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
why
I was like, when did that happen last time?
I don't remember when it posts though, but I just know how we did it.
Yeah. I know. I know how we. Okay.
Yeah.
That's too much inside baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But love your lifetime supplies.
And I love your sea salt crackers. These are amazing.
Thank you.
I know exactly what these are. Oh, I've tried them. I know what those are.
You have had them.
Oh, I have. Okay. I recognize the packaging immediately, and I'm like, yes.
The like best gold combo with them is the unexpected cheddar from Trader Joe's cheese spread.
Okay. I never had it.
Amazing. And you eat a little red seedless grape with it. You got a little bougie PB&J.
Okay.
If you will.
I am anti Trader Joe's.
Why?
Because the parking lots are always the size of like a shoebox.
Okay. Yeah. But like you.
And anytime I've been to Trader Joe's, it is the most, especially the ones that I was exposed to in LA, the parking lots were the size of a 300 square foot apartment and you could never find parking and it was a pain in the ass. So I completely avoid Trader Joe's because the inconvenience of it.
Well, the one over in West Nashville is not like that.
Okay.
You have plenty of places to park. And if you go during the day or during like a weekday, you're totally fine. If you go on a weekend, you're going to be miserable.
Okay.
For sure. But you should give it another shot because they have really good things.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. I want to talk about beige flags. Do you know what that means?
Beige? No, I don't know what beige is.
You know what red flags are?
Yeah.
Somebody has like a red flag. Well, beige flag was the trend on social media of like something that's kind of a quirk of yours. It's not a bad thing and it's not necessarily a good thing either, but it's just kind of a thing that you have. And I have a beige flag and maybe it'll help you think of a beige flag you have that could be funny.
Okay.
So I have this thing. My beige flag is that I can't watch TV shows or movies if they make me too uncomfortable. Like I could be an hour and a half into a movie.
And you'll stop it?
Yep.
You wouldn't even get to the end?
No, because if I get too uncomfy and I'm like, whether it's like making me have the heebie-jeebies or like I can't watch because it's so gory or because like it's so painfully awkward that I can't like sit through it, I just stop it and I don't ever come back to it and I pretend I saw the whole thing. And I kind of make up the end in my head.
You're like, oh, we just did the movie. Oh, it's amazing. In the end, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
And the reason I know that I do this is because I was with a man in uniform. We were watching a movie that I had actually picked because I thought it looked really good. It was called Land of Bad on Amazon Prime. Good movie.
I haven't seen it, I don't think, no.
It has Liam Hemsworth in it, but it's very gory. Okay. And I don't typically watch gory movies.
Okay.
But I wanted to watch this one, and I would have normally turned it off, but he was watching. So, you know, I just sat there with, like, I, the little kid, like, watching through my eyes.
Really? You didn't, wouldn't even just, like, stomach it a little bit?
I was trying. That's how I was stomaching it, through my eyes, through my hand holes. Mm. You know? So that is my beige flag, is if something makes me too uncomfortable, I like, pause, run away.
Okay.
It's not a great quality trait I have, but it is what it is.
Because you miss out on a lot of things that you know, you don't know the ending to a lot of things.
Yeah, there was another one that made me do this, but I did end up finishing it. It was Ricky Stenicki with Zac Efron and John Cena on.
Okay, I haven't seen that one, but I know about it. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a comedy.
Yeah.
But there were such awkward moments that I had to keep pausing it. Like, awkward, I knew it was coming. I'd be like, pause.
Well, then how did you get through the season one of Office? Did you watch that?
I did watch Office, but I don't know why. I don't know if the humor was just so dry that it was okay.
Or even like the Scott's Tots where he promises them college scholarships. Did you see that episode?
I think I blocked that out of my memory.
Oh, because that
Which
one.
Which I do that often.
Because that one got really awkward and I loved it. I love awkward. I love the feeling you get of feeling awkward. I think it's the coolest feeling in the world.
For real?
It makes my stomach
turn so hard.
Me too. But it's a feeling that you don't get very often. And so when it happens, I love it. I love awkward.
I can't.
And
do
then
it.
I love knowing that somebody else, the best thing in the world is knowing that someone else is feeling awkward. And then you just play into it even more.
I'll see
it's
that.
So much fun for me.
That's how I Lunchbox makes me feel anytime we're in public together. And I'm like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm the oldest in my family. And so I'd always mess around with my younger siblings. There's nothing better than making somebody feel awkward and then playing into it even more.
Okay. Well, that's I just got greatest. Vulnerable and you cannot use this against me. Okay. If you do this to me in person, I will come after you. This is not allowed to be used against me.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You promise.
I'll see.
Scuba. I just got vulnerable on a podcast. I didn't know that this was going to be used in any way, shape, or form.
Well, here's the thing. And my wife can attest to this. I will promise, but I can't guarantee that I will remember. Because I will promise for a while, and then after a certain period of time, this could even be my beige. I have another one though. After a certain period of time, my brain then takes in so much information, and some things just happen to go missing. And this one could be one that goes missing in about 4 or 5 months.
Okay, that is fair, and I understand. As long as you don't do it intentionally, I won't be mad at you.
And or what will happen is I'll come to and I'll go, oh shoot, that's right. Morgan said don't da da da, and then I'll feel bad. But then I'm midway through it, and I have to commit and continue going on with whatever I'm doing.
No, in this scenario, you don't get to keep committing. You have to bail because I will have probably already bailed and like halfway to Texas by now.
Okay,
just FYI.
Okay,
what's your beige flag?
So mine would be. That I'm an alien when it comes. I feel like I'm an alien because whenever I go anywhere for any sort of like outing at a restaurant, I was like, how do I even get in that when you go to a restaurant? Like, why do
well,
I say
at first, I thought
restaurant?
You were about to say I'm an alien, and then I didn't know where that was going to go. So.
Well, I feel like it because all I want is liquids. Like, I could survive off of liquids all day, every day. So if we go somewhere like for breakfast, for example, most people are like going to ready to order their food. I think I order more. I have more cups lined up around me than I have food. So if we go for breakfast, I'll have water. I'll have an orange juice. I'll have a coffee, and with the coffee, I need a milk because I like to use regular milk with the coffee. I don't like to use like the creamer or whatever. And then sometimes I'll have a Coca-Cola Classic. So I'll have
a lot of drinks.
I'll have a lot of fluids around me, and I'll drink them all. I'll drink them all at different times within the meal. And so I'm a liquid connoisseur.
How are you getting all those different flavor profiles while also eating?
That
can't taste good.
I go through when I know I want. So before the meal comes, I'm really big on the water, hydrating.
Got
maybe
it.
A little bit of Coke. And then as the meal comes, then I'll start introducing the coffee and I'll have that. And then as I get to the end of the meal, I like to end it with orange juice. It's kind of like my dessert.
Okay, but orange juice has such a funky taste. Like, I think of orange juice and toothpaste, especially because I had to eat an Oreo with it one time.
Yeah.
Never forget.
One time.
It has such a weird taste. Like, does it not create a weird
No, I think
thing
maybe
in
I've
your
gotten
mouth?
Used to it because I'll even have cereal with orange juice. Like I'll use milk, but I'll have orange juice as my drink with the cereal.
The milk isn't the drink?
No, not at all. And milk just happens to make the cereal easier for me to chew, I guess.
So you're very hydrated.
It's extremely hydrated, almost to the point
but
where
maybe
it's too
not
much.
All the best hydrations.
I drink a lot of water though.
Okay.
Tons of water throughout the day. Lots of water.
You do have two things sitting in front of you right now.
Yeah, I have a coffee and I have a water. And then I love, my favorite thing in the whole world is when you're on road trips and you go to gas stations in different regions of the world and seeing what kind of drinks they have in their drink area.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll find cool sodas you haven't seen in a while, like Surge was around for a minute again in the early 2010s.
Will you get like five of them when you go in?
Oh, yeah. Whatever I find that's unique, or I'll try something. I go, oh, that was really good. I'll have to make a note when we come back. I want to buy more of those.
Have you been to Bucky's?
Yeah, I've been to Bucky's. Yeah, the place gives me too much anxiety.
Well, so have you seen the slushy wall? Do you like the slushy wall?
I love the slushy wall, yeah. I try to go to Bucky's when it's not that busy because it's just too much.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Costco.
Yeah, it is a Costco. It's just a little ridiculous.
It is, but it's also like, I get it. Like yeah. When I first went in, I was like, the hype is not worth this. And then when I left, I was like, the hype is worth this.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, especially if you're on a road trip. It's cool to get out for like 30 minutes and stretch your legs and reset and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I get the business side of it. But for my personality, I avoid Bucky's like the plague.
Well, the slushy wall now calls your name. I know this about you.
I know. And then I bring my kids in there and they have the anxiety of a rest stop and one of the kids going missing. And then
I didn't even think about that.
Terrifies me. So I want nothing to do with Bucky's. I want a small little corner store or shell or whatever at it.
You want a CD gas station?
CD gas stations are the best. They have the best sodas and random drinks.
Did I use that right?
CD, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love a CD spot.
Okay, got it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being vulnerable. I will not use that against you. I hope you respectfully do the same for me.
Yeah, you really can't use it against me. I don't really care. I'm still going to drink all my liquids.
I'll start taking them. They just go missing. You're like,
that's how you can use it against me. You're like, wait a second, I had five cups here. Now there's only four.
You don't get any. Like, they just keep going missing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Scuba, I feel like this is a weird year for me, and maybe you're having a weird year of some kind too, but I have five weddings, three of which I am in this year.
I know, I saw that.
Like, I'm having my 27 Dresses moment. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, 27 Dresses with Katherine Heigl. And she's literally a bridesmaid in so many weddings. She has a closet full of bridesmaid dresses. And she wasn't the one who like fell in love or whatever. And it's this whole storyline of her being a bridesmaid.
I've seen it. That's a great movie.
Great movie.
Oh, that's a great movie. It's a really good movie.
That is what my 2024 is.
James Marsden's in it too. That's right.
Yeah.
What a great movie.
And that is my year. It's the 27 Dresses of Morgan is happening. And I'm a little overwhelmed, but I'm also really excited. It's just weird. It feels really weird that like this is finally hitting for this time in my life. Maybe it's very normal at age 30 because this is when everybody starts to get married.
Yeah, all your friends start doing it. Yeah.
And like your really good friends. And it was funny, up until this year, none of my good friends were like, really up until last year, none of my good friends were in like serious relationships enough to get married.
And then boom.
And then it all happened at once.
You feel weird because you feel like, okay, now there's a pressure. Like, when's Morgan going to be next? Is it one of those things?
No, because I was already last of my college roommates. Oh, yeah. They literally all got married like the year after each other. And then there's this huge gap now.
And it's you,
I'm the last one. So I kind of got over that with that one.
Even like any pressure with the family, like, Morgan, when are you going to settle down? No, are we going to give us grandkids? Like any of that kind of crap?
No, you know, my parents have never been that way, especially because, I mean, they also know I'm a huge animal lover, so there's always a real possibility that I go rogue and, like, start a rescue instead of having babies.
Totally. Yeah, but that's how you end up meeting your soulmate then.
Yes, that's possible, but who knows? I mean, listen, the man in uniform situation is moving really, really well. I have nothing but rave reviews, so.
Although, I thought you paused the other day about it.
I paused because I just wasn't ready to.
Okay.
Be like, because listen, they've been coming at me hard about it. I needed some breathing time to like allow myself to be in this and have fun. And
Amy went hella hard.
Yeah.
By they, you mean like her. I mean, like, she was like straight up like projecting something. I don't know. It was crazy. I was like, all right.
Yeah. And like he's like genuinely Scuba. This man was created by a woman, literally, but also figuratively. Like, Yes. Sorry. The saying is, he is. What's the saying? Now I can't think of it. It's like, hold on. I have to Google. Do a little ad lib for me.
Okay. So let's talk about basketball. There is the playoffs right now. I'm an Orlando Magic fan and is not looking very good.
Okay, here we go. Thank you for the ad-lib. I'm sorry about your basketball team. I'm not sure what was being said.
I was filibustering for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. I got you.
Little Easter egg from the Big Show.
Yeah.
It's a man written by a woman is what I was trying
to
say.
Man written. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And it's basically a trend that refers to a man who is the character is very respectful, very introspective, very dreamy. Like he's just a really good human and he carries himself very well.
Okay.
And so that's what Man in Uniform is. He is a man that is written by a woman.
Okay.
So far, like genuinely, I half the time when things happen, I'm like, is this real? Because I don't know. And it is. Like, it's very real and it's consistent. So.
Is his, and if I'm going too much, then I want to give way to it.
I'll plead the fifth if I need to.
Yeah. So I say I have a similar experience. Not saying I want to put myself in that category, but I think because I was raised by a single mother and I saw that perspective. And by my grandmother and my grandfather, who loved and respected women a lot. And then all my cousins were all girls that lived in Tampa. And my uncle had all girls. So he had a different perspective. Does he have a very similar dynamic where he was just surrounded, or anyone who's written into that have that as well, where their perspective on life is because they're around so many women that they then get to see what their life is like versus like if you only had a dad and you had all brothers, nothing against it, but you're going to be more like, oh man,
a little bit more manly.
Yeah, like I could care less about football. I don't like football. I don't mind it, but it's like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the NFL season to come back and get our football draft going. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just not in me. Or like, man, baseball season, it's America's pastime. Like, I don't give a crap. I don't mind going. I don't mind seeing it if it's on. But like if I go to a game, like we used to go to Dodger games all the time.
Yeah.
And we'd get there early.
You have a Dodger hat on right now.
Yeah, exactly. We'd go to Dodger games and then we'd be there early and we'd be out by third or fourth inning. We'd leave because we're like, let's beat traffic. And also, we don't really care. That was fun. We had enough fun. Let's go.
Yeah. Dad's very involved too. Like he's very close with his family, but he, as he would describe it, has a very strong-willed mother and just very impactful mom on his life who is very successful. And so him being intimidated by strong women is not a thing.
Because he's been exposed to it his whole life, which is huge.
Very and important for me and something I was looking for.
Yeah, and a lot of men have to learn that later in life where he was growing up with it and he was in his DNA.
And much like you were talking about, he's had it surrounded not just by his mom, but from a lot of other people in his life, too.
Which is helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and just closeness to family, which I feel like when you have some strong values connected to family, whatever family looks like to you, whether it's traditional or untraditional, I think that's a huge deal when it comes to relationships. It just has a big impact on it.
Oh, yeah, totally does. Yeah. So, that's cool. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. So
heck yeah.
I'm still having my 27 dresses moment, but things are going really well.
Yes, and don't put any pressure on yourself.
No, no pressure.
Ever. I'm not saying you would, but mm-mm. Don't ever let society or anyone else put you in a space where you feel like, oh, I have to do anything.
No, and you know, people often ask me, they're like, why do you share your dating life so much and like so much? Why don't you like keep it private? And I think it's a great perspective to share because this is what dating looks like.
Yeah.
There's ebbs and flows. You go through breakups. You meet somebody new. This is literally, the show has experienced my entire 20s as a woman who's been dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if I never gave that perspective, I don't feel like I would have given a voice to those people because like, we really don't have that on the show. You know what I mean? No, we have a lot of guys and most of them have been married and Bobby has his own storyline where he got married later. But like that storyline of like a woman genuinely going through the ebbs and flows of dating and what that looks like, that was there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've just always shared, but I've always been cautious and very, I have my own timelines that I share things. That's why I pled the fifth. I was like, just let me enjoy this for a little bit before like let you guys put me to the fire.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to share that because it's such a big part of people's lives. And dating sucks. It's also really awesome at the same time. It's both.
Yeah. And dating, you've also kind of, even because technology evolves so quickly, you've probably seen so much in the transition mm-hmm. of how dating has, you know, the infant stages of online to where it is now. I mean, I remember there was a moment when my mom was going through all this stuff dating because she was a single mother. And it was like, you know, the websites that she, like back then it was like, oh, you're going online dating, what a loser. Oh my God. And then like the pictures are never the same guy. Like it's, we always would make fun of her.
Yep.
Because she'd show us the guy and I'm like, yeah, mom, that's like him when he was like 1986. He probably looks nothing like that now, you know, and the guy, yep. And like she would be on a second or third date with a guy and she'd bring him to the house, whatever. And we're like, that looks nothing like the guy in the picture, mom. Like he's a dweeb.
Yeah, catfish hasn't come as a term yet, probably.
No, not at all. And you're like, dude, what? And you're like, what? Mom, you can't find any guys on the internet. It's dumb. You should go find someone in real life.
Mm-hmm. And now we like don't talk to each other in real life.
And that was just like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Now it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. It has. I've experienced so many different ways of which the dating spectrum has been and existed. But
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, kind of a reason why it was just more of like, I know other people are going through this. I know what my conversations with my girlfriends, my guy friends looked like. And it was always about this. It was the chaos that came with dating.
Yeah.
Because it's such a big part of our lives. Like you have your professional life and you have your personal life. And your personal life, 99% of people, it involves romantic love.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Most of the time, it's not pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why. What is this year for you? We talked about my 27 dresses. Man in uniform, which was not intentional, but it came out.
This year for me, I would say, and it's happened a lot. So we're in a week of palindromes?
Palindromes.
Hold on. I want to say it right.
Oh, okay. Oh, do I need a filibuster for you?
So basically, I can explain what it is. So like when you look at the word race car.
Okay.
Race car, forward and backwards, is spelt the same way. Palindrome, yes. So we are in a week of palindromes where the date, it started on 420. April 20th,
okay.
And it goes through the 29th, where the numbers repeat themselves forward and backwards. So if you look at 4/20/24, you look at it backwards, it's still 4/20/24.
Okay.
So we are in a streak of palindromes for like 9 or 10 days. And there's only 29 in the entire 21st century, and 9 or 10 of them happen in this month. So I feel like over these last few days, and then it will continue.
That palindrome's getting you.
It will continue to progress. But this is especially a very, I guess, prosperous and lucky time of the year. And so for me, I think this year is growth.
Oh.
Growth
okay.
on the career side of things.
We like it.
Yes. And I think a lot of changes will come this year. I'm not sure what point of the year, but I know this is a year for a lot of changes for me and for my family.
Particularly professionally, or do you think also personally?
I mean, it'll affect our personal lives.
Yes, but I mean,
the professional. But it's not like we're going to have a fourth child or anything. Nothing like that. No, it's strictly all professional. That would then, of course, in lieu, affect personal.
I love it. I love that for you.
Yeah, I love it too.
Palindrome. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, palindrome. Yeah, palindrome. It's palindrome. A weird word to say. So you're like, am I saying it right?
What it makes me think of is, you remember those balls that are on like the little square wooden thing and they click back and forth? That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
But I know that's not what that's called.
That may be called a palindrome because it's on either side and it repeats.
Is but it?
Watch this be the same thing. Let's put in here. What is it? What would you have you describe that?
All I know is it's typically like a box of
balls
that hit back and forth.
And hit back and
I know that also probably sounds weird forth. If you're just now turning
it. Oh, yeah. Forth on each side. Let's see what the internet says. They call it Newton's cradle.
Newton's cradle.
Yeah, Newton's cradle. Let's make sure we're looking at the right thing. Check. Yeah, these things right here. Newton's cradle.
Yes.
So because it's gravity, because you're hitting one side and it creates an opposite reaction on the other side and it then creates the reaction back to the other side.
I think I would like to think that they're both palindromes, though.
Yeah, it sounds like you could probably call it that. People would know what you're talking about.
Both be the same.
Yeah, so that's a year of change, year of growth.
Year of growth, year of love and weddings for me. These are some interesting times we're getting in right now.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, listen up. I need a good Scuba Steve story here because I know you're going to have one tied to this. So there's girls on Instagram that are sharing the craziest lie a partner or a person they've ever dated has ever told them.
Okay.
And I have a really strong one. I didn't tell it was an experience I had.
Okay.
And I bet you also have one. Because I know I'm thinking about like the girl in the car and the chicken nuggets. I'm pretty sure it was chicken nuggets that you brought to her house. You caught her cheating.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah,
was it chicken nuggets?
Yeah, it was Chick-fil-A nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can't use that one because you've shared that one.
Okay.
But I bet you have another one if I had to guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to
I'll think. Let you think. I'll share mine.
Okay.
So... mine involved
<That's>
my yeah, my infamous ex. Let's just put him that way. It was becoming my birthday. It was the night before my birthday, and we had planned to spend the night together and, you know, celebrate my birthday. Well, it's like getting into midnight, when it's always been my thing that I like to celebrate my birthday at midnight and then like fall asleep. It's just kind of something I've liked to do.
So you do it. So cool. You do midnight, whereas, so like if say your birthday was, if it was like today, whatever day. So you would do it midnight, where it's essentially the next day is your birthday.
Yeah. Like, okay, gotcha. You get to ring it in right then.
Gotcha. Like you're at top of it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Not as much as I've gotten older, but I really did that in my like teens and early 20s.
Okay.
Cause I was going out and drinking. You'd go out on Thursday and you'd celebrate at midnight.
Midnight and Friday's are technically your birthday.
Yeah. Gotcha. And that was the plan. Well, he like all of a sudden was like, I'm not feeling well. I have to go home. Whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I'm super bummed, but what, you know, what am I going to do? I get a photo, not even 30 minutes later, of him at the bar with his buddies. And I was like,
how'd you get the photo?
Somebody I knew was also out.
Oh, so someone saw him, was like, hey, your man's at the bar.
I was like, hey, like, I see him. And it was innocent. Like, it was more of a like, hey, where are you?
He's like, oh, you're probably thinking, yeah, where are you? Okay,
yeah. Like,
it's your birthday tomorrow. Like, aren't you supposed to be out?
And I was like, I was. And then not even 20 minutes after that, I got a photo of him with another girl. Because I'm like sitting at home and I'm just like, what am I going to do? Like show up at the bar. And then you know what I did? I showed up at the bar.
Because
it was my birthday and I was pissed.
And you're ready to have a good time. And if it means at someone else's expense.
Yeah. So I showed up and you know what he did? He ran out of the bar.
He ran.
Like he saw me. We made eye contact and he ran. This bar had like a dual area so you could go to like the other side and like still get out. There's multiple exits.
Yeah.
And all his friends are still standing there and all of a sudden I just see him dip out. I mean, he darted out. Like darted out, took off the other direction. And there's more to that story, but that's where I'm going to leave it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you confront the girl?
I mean,
or go up to his friends and be like, "Hey guys, what's up?"
I did go up to his friends and they're like, oh, hi, like, you okay? And I'm like, you guys all suck.
Yeah, you guys all suck because you know that we were dating and none of you had the balls to be like, to say anything.
Yep.
You all went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
That means all those people are terrible.
Yeah. And he was a bad dude. So like he had a lot of issues, but it was a very lie that like I had never done that before. I'd never shown up somewhere and been like, intentionally know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where I'm I know what I'm about to walk into and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
So there's always the thing. It's always it. When somebody looks crazy, there's always a reason.
Yeah.
And it is never them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Somebody else did it to them.
Else's fault. Exactly. Yeah.
That kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a really bad one. That's a crazy lie that I like caught red handed.
Damn. Okay.
So yeah, he's a bad one. That's why I end it there. But
was it the end of the relationship or you guys stayed on for a little bit even more?
Oh yeah, this is a bad one. Okay. I mean, that man had a way with words and a way with charm to get out of things.
Okay.
And convince me that I was crazy.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was very early in my 20s, so I was still learning about relationships and I had never experienced that type of person before. So I just, you also know me as a person. I assume everybody's good and I assume that nobody would want to hurt other people, and that's just not something I can understand.
You give people the benefit of the doubt, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, and he got lots of benefit of the doubts. So,
wow, sounds, geez, oh my goodness.
That was a rough one.
That's awful, and on your birthday.
Yeah, that was where the rockiness did start, though. Like, that was the beginning of it.
You know? Kind of gave you the signs of, like, I probably should not be here anymore.
Oh, yeah. But definitely toxic. I mean, both sides. Like, I'll own my stuff. I should have just straight up left if I would have known better.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You know, you live and you learn. So, crazy lie.
Yeah.
You got anything
well,
that comes to mind?
So my ex-wife, we had a lot of lies. I don't know how many of them I've told, but there's a lot of them that I didn't tell, I don't think. And one of them was also similar to that too, where we were out somewhere. I think we had just gotten couples massages and I was with, oh my God, I remember because my friend David, who moved to Nashville recently, he's living with me for the next month while he gets his...
Hey, David.
Yeah, while he gets his feet on the ground. I believe he was there. And I remember because it was like, we went to get a couples massage. And they're like, hey, afterwards, we're going to go to this bar over near Giant Stadium, AT&T Park in San Francisco. And then we're sitting there. And then so we're hanging out. We're talking. David's there. I'm there. She's there. And I feel like one of her friends are there. Anyways, doesn't really matter. But we're sitting there at the bar. And she goes, oh, I'll be right back. Thinking she's going to the bathroom or something. And then she didn't come back for a while. I'm like, yeah, it's my wife. So I'm like, where is she? I was getting nervous. But I have this like... this gut, you know, your gut feeling like in the pit of your stomach, you're like, something's not right. Something's not right.
Those dang gut feelings.
Something's not right. And something was not right. Cause she's like, I'll be right back. And we, again, assuming we went to the bathroom and it had been like almost 30 minutes. I'm like, But, you know, we're hanging out. I figured maybe she stopped and saw something. I don't know. And so I'm like, hey, and then Dave was like, maybe we should like get up and walk around and see if we can find her or something. Because we were at the bar, though. We wanted to keep our space at the bar because it was kind of crowded. I think it was during like a Giants game or after a Giants game. So that whole area gets flooded with fans and people who were at the stadium or watching the game across the street. So it was a really busy time. And it may have been like playoff time, too. So it may have been even extra busy. So like, so we didn't want to lose our spot at the bar. And I was like, I don't know. She'll come back. You know, and I believe she even left her phone at the bar, too. She had nothing on her.
Oh, dang. So she like really was like playing into this lie.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, all right. And then Dave's like, no, we just walk around, see if we can find her. I was like, all right, whatever. So we lose our spot at the bar. We're walking around. We get around the corner and I see her having a conversation with somebody. And it's not like one of those like, it's not like a, hey, good to see you, like whatever. The body chemistry was like they are about to have sex kind of chemistry. And I was like, what? Who's that? Dave was like, oh, I think I see her over there. And I'm like, who's that dude with her? And I was like, and Dave's like, well, let's go find out. And so we walk over there. And then she's like, oh, hey, guys. Oh. And like the conversation, it was like, you know, you walk in on someone talking crap about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can feel it. And not saying they were talking crap about me, but you could feel something was wrong.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like quickly switched subjects. Like, oh, yeah. So like the basketball game. Yeah. Well, I mean, the baseball game. Oh, yeah. The game. What a crazy game, right?
Was he like playing into her lie? Like, do you think he knew that you were her husband?
I don't know because I made it known because then it was like the conversation got interrupted by me and then she didn't even introduce us to him. And then I was just like, oh, hey, my name's Steven. I'm her husband. And I could see him kind of like putting pieces together. And maybe he's kind of like, oh, you're her husband. And I wasn't sure if it was I didn't know she had a husband. Or if this was part of that Ashley Madison thing I dealt with, and he was one of the men who was also a piece of crap cheating on his wife.
Mm.
And he's probably like, oh crap, the husband's here. This isn't supposed to happen.
You know? Yeah.
Like kind of like, oh my God, oh, what do I do? And she's like, oh yeah, he's one of our clients that works at the hotel. He's one of our vendors and da da da. So like really played it off as like because she worked at a hotel and did the events side of the hotel. So she would always play off these scenarios, because this happened a couple times actually, these scenarios as a, oh, it's just a client, you know, he was one of the vendors and he's in town and I just happened to run into him kind of thing. And I'm like, bull effing crap.
But it was one of your lessons, right? Where you,
yes,
it took you a while to be like, okay, what is
similar
this? What's happening?
Yeah. And I was married too. So I'm like, I'm almost like, what is this weird gut? But I also was like, I don't want to be the jealous guy and seem like the crazy guy and be like, why are you talking to that guy? So I just kind of like would pull back and be like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, whatever. And then I always give him a little bit harder of a handshake than I would most people. Like it'd be one of those like death grip handshakes. And
like
then,
you're giving a stern talking to through a handshake.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like my energy is coming through to me, to you, to let you know, back the F off. And then it was kind of like, and I think she was trying to be like, well, I'm going to keep talking to him. You guys go, whatever. And I was like, all right, well, let's go. And then I could tell she was kind of a little bit perturbed by it. And I was like, but I didn't care. And we just did a couples massage like an hour and a half ago, popped an edible, went to a bar, having a great time. And you're going to do this right in front of me? Like, what in the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. And you also have a similar personality type to me, too, that I feel like you also want to believe the best in people.
Of course.
You don't want to naturally assume like this person is going to be a horrible person because you also can't understand how they even got there. Like,
yes,
I could never do that. So how can you do that?
Yes, exactly. I would never do it to anyone. I couldn't. It's not in me. And then also, then you start going ahead, like maybe he is a client. Maybe he was there last week and because they do come to town and they're there for a week and she's
happened
really to see
him.
Well,
they're really good at making you think that that's the case.
Yes, exactly.
They paint the story and you're like, okay, well, then
maybe
that's
it's true.
The story.
And I don't want to act crazy because then I'm the crazy guy. Then the guy really could be an actual vendor and a person. And then I ruin that relationship and cause the company. It's like, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, yeah, or start a fire. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that. So I just would tuck my tail between my legs and be like, all right, cool, nice to meet you. Then we'd move on.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that happened
Look
a couple times. Yeah. I think the second or third time, then I got upset and I think I got physical with the guy and I was kind of like, I gave him a handshake and then he went to like give her a hug and I went and I remember taking my arm and then like slamming him against a brick wall and be like, no, dude, you're going too far. But it was positioned to me as another one of the clients and you know, just walking me home to make sure I go home safe after work. Cause we live like a block and a half from the hotel where she worked at. Cause I wanted to be close to work. It was a new big city. We had moved to San Francisco and I wanted to be safe and feel safe because she was allegedly working late nights on events.
Allegedly.
I'm sure some were true and then some were not. And yeah, one of those things where the guy was coming, I haven't seen her in a while. And she said she's coming home at midnight. I have work at 3:30 in the morning. I was like, let me go walk the dogs and see if I can, cause I was always worried too about her safety. Cause we're in a big city and I don't know if you know, she'd get kidnapped or all the worst things, you know, you just start going through your head like, oh my God, is she okay? Is she safe? You know, what something could have happened between the walk between there mm-hmm. to here, and you're just nervous. And I remember one time walking with the dogs and it was around midnight. And then all of a sudden I see, because there's nobody on, it's California Street, it's shut. There is nobody on the street. All you can hear is the cable car chains still moving because the cable car went by on our street. And you just hear the chains, like, and I can hear it in my head now, like the chains just like moving on the track and no cable cars in sight because they're about to shut it down. They're not running anymore. And I see at the top of the hill, I see her and some dude. And I'm like, is that? And I was like, nah, it can't be her. And so I start walking up the hill with the dogs. I get closer and closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, no, that's her. And that's a dude. And they're really close. Oh, my God. And as I get closer, I see her kind of be like a push off, And I'm like, hey, she's like, oh, hey, what's going on? She's like, yeah, we just did an event at the hotel. He's just making sure I got home safe because I end up having a drink later with them and all the clients and da da da. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he goes to like give her like a hug and a kiss goodbye, like a cheek kiss or whatever. And I just immediately remember taking my arm and putting it on his chest and slamming it against one of the apartment buildings. And I was like, yo, dude, I don't know who you are, but you're going a little too much here. And then he said something to me and I was like, I don't want to hear it. And then I just remember taking the dogs back down the hill and then walking away from her. I mean, like, I don't even care. And that was one of the ones where I was like, all right, this is it. I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that was actually the night. Oh, my God, that was the night. Because she wasn't a drink. She was piss drunk. I mean, she was so drunk that was the night where she passed out immediately when she got in bed. Like, she was still in her work clothes, passed out, name tag still on from the hotel. And that was the night her phone was blowing up. And that was the night where it turned into the whole Ashley Madison thing. And I found out she'd been cheating on me this whole time. And that was a full rollout. And I was like, man, this freaking girl lied to me so much.
You know, and I feel like when that time finally comes to, you feel like such a weight off your shoulders. You're like, dang, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that mix of emotions where you're like, I'm not crazy. This is also going to really suck.
Oh, yeah. Because then I'm like, now I also was like, I don't want to tell my family yet because what if we work it out? Because it's a marriage. I'm like, it's a marriage, even though we're only 1 year into it. I was like, I don't want to tell my family yet. And like, I don't want anyone to think differently about her because my biggest worry was if we ever got through it, then my family would be like, well, screw her. She's a jerk. She did this, that, and the other. So I never told anyone. So I just kept it to myself. And I was in San Francisco and knew nobody. We just moved there a year ago. So I had no friend support group. I had some people at work and stuff, but I didn't have like my core friends, my family. I had no one around me. So I had to internalize it myself and handle it,
mm-hmm.
but also have the sense of like, don't say anything because you could fix this. And then you don't want them to have bad thoughts against her. And then I realized this was never going to work.
You know, it's funny you say that. Cause when I finally ended that with the ex that I brought up in that story, cause he was the abusive one.
Yeah.
That I knew when I finally went to my friend and when I went home like earlier than planned.
Yeah.
I knew what I was doing. Like I knew that this was the end.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it had to be because I was about to tell everything and there was no coming back from that.
Oh yeah.
But like to that point, like it was really when I felt such a very big weight to be like, this is finally over. I can see a light and this is going to be really painful. And I'm going to have to face a lot of things that I don't want to, but it was like this, like just huge, like, okay, everybody finally knows. And I'm
a sigh of relief.
I'm not crazy. And this all really happened and it sucks, but okay, here we are the other end.
Oh yeah.
Instead of in it. Cause being in it sucks so much worse.
Oh yeah. The anxiety of every day,
mm-hmm.
every day that creates this anxiety of just like this pit in your stomach. Like, all right, what challenges am I going to face today? Is she going to be super drunk and yell at me? Or am I going to see her with another dude again? Like, I just like
the emotional toll of that is so strong. Like,
it's so not worth it either.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
Not to make us keep talking about that.
But hey, I think it's what makes you stronger. Like Kelly Clarkson said it best. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's legit. So true. And look at both of us. We are thriving.
Hell yeah.
And not just surviving anymore.
Exactly. All those things happen for a reason and they taught us lessons. I think it gave us more appreciation and to be more grateful in scenarios where we are now, where we're like, not saying I wouldn't appreciate my wife now, but I feel like I have a different appreciation
mm-hmm.
towards her because I've had that experience.
Well, and it probably helped you understand what you were looking for more.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True too. Yeah.
You got to go through it is true. You got to go through the frogs to find the princess.
My prince or prince
charming
or princess. Yeah.
Prince.
Heck yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything you want to add before we jump out of here, Scoobs?
No, I guess we did a pretty good time on this one, right? We're all right on time, or how did we do?
51, not bad. We didn't even hit the hour yet.
Hell yeah.
I'm really proud of us.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that then.
Okay, all right. Well, tell the people where they can find you and hear you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, but I'm not really on it. Scuba Steve Radio, CBS TV Radio. And then if you want to, I was so fast, you can't even ever hear that.
You always say it, and you're like, S-C-U-B-A-C, I can't even do it as fast as you do it.
S-C-U-B-A-C-T-V-R-A-D-O. It's scuba with a C-U-B-A, Steve, and the radio. I know, Scuba Steve Radio, S-C-U-B-A-S-T-E-V-R-A-D-O.
I would like to petition for it to be Scoobs.
Scoobs.
Because that's my favorite,
I know. Scoobs. Who used to call me?
Like Scooba-Doo, but Scoobs.
Who used to call me Scoobs back in the day? Was like an OG friend of mine from San Francisco. He'd be like, Scoobs.
This is why we go an hour.
I know, because this stuff happens. Scoobs. Oh, I think it was the girl. I think it was Jenna. Jenna was the first person. No, it was Katrina. Katrina, who's a producer.
Poor Jenna got messed up with Katrina.
Well, Jenna, I think, was in that same group too. Katrina B, she is the producer and EP for. You ever heard of a girl named Nessa?
Uh-uh.
So Nessa does all those MTV shows where it's like the aftermath shows.
Oh, like the reunions?
Reunion
kind of?
Shows. She's married to Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the 49ers. But now he's the activist, Colin Kaepernick, Nessa. So we used to all work together at Wild 94.9 in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. And Katrina worked with me on a couple other things and then eventually got connected to Nessa. But she was one that used to always call me Scoobs, like 2009, 2010. She was the first. So when you say Scoobs. Yeah, when I hear Scoobs, I think of Katrina immediately. Gracie Award winner, Katrina B.
See, I got you.
Proud of that girl.
That's why I would like to petition for you to now be Scoobs.
Scoobs. And they even texted me, S-C-O-O-B-Z, Scoobs.
Oh, I always do an S.
She did Z.
Maybe well, I need to change
cool
it to
Z.
Z
back in the day. Like the Z was a thing.
Yeah, now that's not cool.
Yeah. Back then it was hella cool. Yeah. Then you can listen to me on iHeart 90s. It's on the iHeart Radio channel. It's all 90s music. It's actually a pretty legit like playlist. The songs are so much fun and it evokes so much emotion in me, like listening to those songs, thinking about my childhood and everything. So it's actually really cool. And you listen to me. It's now Monday through Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern through 6 p.m. Eastern.
Love it.
So do the math when you're where you're at. I won't do it. I know it hurts your brain, but I could definitely do it if you want. 12 to 5 Central,
no, please don't.
11 to 4 Mountain, 10 to 3 Pacific. And if you're my in Hawaii, brain. 7 a.m. to 11 a.m.
So many numbers.
Now, if you're overseas, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But
please
it's 1 to
it.
6 Eastern and go from there, Monday through Saturday.
But do go listen to Scoop Up.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't do the numbers again. I was really bad at math.
I know. Okay. I was really good at it.
Well, I'm really happy for you. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous weekend.
What about Web Girl Morgan on Instagram and Twitter and all the things?
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate the blog. My brain is hurting right now. Can't quite compute what's happening. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go follow the show at Bobby Bones Show. We'll see you later. Bye.
That's the best bits of the week with Morgan. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the other two parts this weekend. Go follow the show on all social platforms.
At Bobby Bones Show. And follow at Web Girl Morgan.
To submit your listener questions for next week's episode.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.